We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
If you'll stand for just a moment, and I want you to greet one another. And when you greet one another, here's your homework. I want you to share with each other, well, just wish each other the peace and love of Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead, have a seat. Is it on? Am I on? Go ahead, have a seat for just a moment. And so one of the things I love about the Bible is that the stories that are told about Jesus are, well, they're amazing. And what's amazing about the Gospels is that each gospel writer approaches the life and ministry of Jesus as, well, from a totally different angle. In fact, so much so that if you were to read all four gospels, you would only find a handful of events that all four gospels talk about. Now, for example, each of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about the resurrection, right? Okay, that wasn't a trick question. Let's try that again. Each of the four Gospels all talk about the resurrection, right? And they all talk about the Christmas story, right? Wrong. The only place you're going to find the Christmas story that we're used to is in Luke. Matthew's Gospel kind of hints around it, but Matthew is the one that talks about the here we go, Kay, just for you. About the three wise men. Even though we don't know there were three. All four mention John the Baptist, but John never talks about the baptism of Jesus. All four do talk about the feeding of the 5,000, but only John records Jesus' first miracle, the turning of water into wine. And there are some people who are skeptics who want to use that as a reason to try to disprove the validity and the truth of the Bible. They say, well, how can four writers see or hear about the same events and report them so differently? Well, that's an easy one to answer. Rusty can see one event, I would see one, Matt would see one, and all three of us would rewrite it differently. Because why? We're different people. We see things differently. We understand things differently. Thank God you don't think like me. And I'm thankful every day I don't think like you. It's what makes us human. And instead of making the Bible less valid, less authentic, less true, I believe because of the differences, it becomes more true. It becomes more real. You see, because I happen to think each gospel writer is trying to paint a picture that is important to them about Jesus. And so when they record an event, it may be different than another gospel writer because they want us to learn something different. Well, I discovered this to be true this past week when I was rereading the Palm Sunday story. Now, I know Palm Sunday happens in spring, the Sunday before Easter, and this is the dead dog days of August. And so the reason why, I'm not going to go into the reasons why I was reading the Palm Sunday. If you want to know, I'll tell you later. It's really long. But just trust me, there was a reason why I was looking at it again this week. And as I looked at the story recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I became intrigued by it. So much so that I talked to Matt on Tuesday, and we changed where this sermon and what was supposed to be preached this week. Because I looked especially in Mark's gospel. And the reason why I focused on Mark's gospel, because it was, well, here's one reason. Mark explains, as you heard Rusty read, the entire Palm Sunday event in 11 verses. But 7 of the 11 verses are about the donkey. And I thought that was a little bizarre. So I started to look closer at it, trying to figure out why in the world would Mark be so concerned about the donkey that he spent 7 of 11 verses talking about it. So I read some more. And here's what I discovered. Mark's version of Palm Sunday was quite simple. It goes something like this. I know we're wrong on the slides, Tom, so just stay with me. It goes something like this. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, right? What's the next one? He entered the temple. The next one, he looks around. And the final one, he leaves. Now, that is a totally different version than Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke, Jesus rides in, people are going crazy, they cheer, they yell Hosanna in the highest, the city is in turmoil, something big is about to happen, things are going to explode, no one understands what or why, they just know something's going to happen. Then Jesus gets off the donkey, goes into the temple, loses his mind, and chunks the money changers out of the temple. You remember that? You've seen it in artwork, you've probably heard the story. But in Mark's gospel, what does he do? He looks around in the temple, he sees the same thing, and then he just leaves, goes back to Bethany. And if you read Mark's gospel, Mark even tells you why he left. Verse 11. Do we have it? He looked around at everything. It was already late, and then he went out to Bethany with the 12. If you underline your Bible, you may just want to, for fun, underline. It was already late. Now, you know me. You've been around me. Some of you have been stuck with me for 5.5 years. You know the way I look at things. I had to know what in the world Mark was trying to get at. None of the other Gospels talk about the time of day. We don't even know what time of day it is. It could be 10 in the morning. It could be 4 in the evening. We don't know. All Mark tells us is something was late. So, Kay, you know what I had to do? I had to try to find the story behind the story, because there's always something else going on. And if you don't look for the something else going on, you might miss the reason why Mark wrote it in the first place. So I did. And I discovered, and I love this, chapter 11, verse 3. This is what I discovered. This is what Mark writes. If anyone says to you, this is after he tells the disciples to go get the donkey. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this, taking the donkey? Just say this, the Lord needs it. If you underline your Bible, underline this next part. And we'll send it back here immediately. Now, Matthew and Luke tell us about a borrowed donkey. John, for some reason, has Jesus finding the donkey. I don't understand that yet. Mark is the only one that says, and Jesus will return the donkey. That's it. What in the world is going on? Only Mark. So I started wondering, maybe the reason why Jesus left the temple early had nothing to do with the time of day. Maybe the reason why was because Jesus was late returning the donkey. I mean, after all, maybe what was going on is all Jesus was doing was keeping his word that the donkey would come back as soon as he could get it back to them. And maybe it hit Jesus at that moment, wow, I got to go return. I gave my word, I'm returning the donkey. Because then if you read Mark's gospel, the next day or day and a half, what does Jesus do? He goes back into the temple, and that's when he throws the money changers out. So why in the world would Mark want us to know that Jesus might have gone to return the donkey? Yes, you could preach that Jesus is teaching us how important it is to keep our word. There's better text than that. So I begin to wonder, and you know how my mind works, so you may or may not see it with me. But I begin to wonder, could it be that Jesus returning the donkey is a metaphor for us, that it's something else going on? Could it be, as we sit here this morning, that what Mark wants us to do is to ask ourselves the question, what is it that we need to return? Or to put it another way, what is it that you and I need to release? What is it that you and I need to let go of? Because let's just be real. Every one of us in this room, we all carry stuff around with us. We carry this baggage with us that does nothing but weigh us down. Maybe at one point in our life, we thought this stuff that we carried was helpful. Right? But now, after carrying it for so long, it just has gotten in the way of life. And maybe for you, I don't know, maybe you've been carrying around for a long time this resentment, because someone did something to you and you still can't get over it. And so you've carried this weight of resenting. And maybe just not able to forgive the person. And so really, you've just become a bitter, unhappy person because you've carried it around. Or maybe you did something that you thought was so unforgivable that you carry that guilt with you, you know? And it keeps you from really experiencing the abundant life that God gives us. Maybe for you it's a sense of greed or lust or envy. Maybe it's this anger that you carry, or maybe you're one of, like the rest of the human population, maybe you have a hard time of releasing and letting go of control. Any control freaks in here? Yeah? And the rest of you are lying. Or maybe for you, it's maybe because of the way you were raised, you're a perfectionist, and everything has to be perfect, and you just beat yourself up when it's not. And you just, every day becomes tiring. Or maybe you have this constant need for people to like you and for approval, right? And so you do things you know you probably shouldn't do, but you don't want to be the one that says no. And you carry that with you. I don't know. But I know each of us carries stuff with us. Stuff that robs us. You know, Jesus said, I have come so that you may have not just life, but that you may have abundant life. And when you're carrying all this stuff, right? Abundant life, it is not part of your experience. So I read this story in Mark this week. And I begin to wonder, is it possible that when we return what we need to return, when we let go of the stuff that weighs us down, is it possible that that's the new life God promises us? I mean, imagine for a moment if you could leave this place today and whatever stuff you carried in with you, whatever resentment, whatever regret, whatever anger, whatever envy, whatever greed, whatever lust, whatever it is, whatever stuff you carried in with you, can you imagine what it would feel like just to leave it and to walk out of here without that baggage, without that stuff, without that weight? That would be like starting a new life. It would be like being given a new opportunity. It would be the abundant life, because what I believe, whatever we hold on to, guilt, fear, anger, resentment, regret, whatever it is robbing us of the life we are called to live. And when we let it go, when we release it, when we, quote, return our donkey, then we become what God created us to be. So you've been given a rock. And all I'm going to do is ask you to hold on to the rock, right hand, left hand, whichever you're more comfortable with. If you're right hand, I prefer you holding your left hand because you can't throw it as good. If you're right, left-handed, throw in the right hand. I don't want Rusty to get hurt. In a little while, Rusty's going to come up and he's going to lead you in an opportunity to return your donkey, if you will, to release whatever it is that is holding on to, whatever you can't let go, to let go and to give it to God and to see if I just might be right, that maybe what Mark wants us to learn isn't just about Palm Sunday. Maybe what Mark wants us to learn is all about releasing and letting things go that are weighing us down, so that we may taste of the life and the grace that God offers. And so this morning, and if you can't do this morning, sometime this week, hear what Mark says. Look around at everything. And, And that's what Jesus did. Don't spend time looking on the stuff outside. Look at what's inside. See what you're holding on to that is just weighing you down. And then just return your donkey. Just let it go. See what happens. That's abundant life. That's the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you, join hands. Y'all know the drill, right? Yeah, something like that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place, and may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes we've made. He simply says, you are the best of the best of the best. Amen.